On Racing HQ, time now for Chinwag with Cozzy.
27-11. Looking forward to a Chinwag this morning, always do, and today in particular with Sue Grills. Morning, Sue. How are you?
Well, thank you, Cozzy. How are you?
Fighting fit. Now, we're going to have a yarn about you growing up and horses and so forth and a lot of the highlights, but Sue, every now and then you get hit and you get pole axed, and I suppose the day you got the phone call regarding Tim Bell, who'd been with you for a long time, that must have just been heartbreaking.
It was. It very much was, you know. It's so hard to believe. You, when his father rang me really early that morning, it was just, yeah, unbelievable.
Tim, how long had Tim been with you, Sue?
4 years.
Goodness. So you'd known him since a young kid?
Oh, for sure. He was only 14 when he came to me. Mm. So, yeah, he's just devastated when that happened, that's for sure.
When he rolled up at the stables, was he a qualified rider at the time? I mean, had he been riding ponies and shows and things like that or not?
Oh, yes. He was a very good rider, good show rider. His mother had ponies and still has. He was always a good rider from day one. You could tell he was just, you know, a bit special rider.
What stood out about him?
Oh, his confidence. He never lacked any confidence. You know, he was tiniest little kid. He's probably only about 45 kilos, but... You know, he wouldn't get on any horse you'd ask him to, and if it bolted, he didn't worry. He'd try again the next day, you know. Just confident, determined, yeah.
Well, you had a lot of success with him, didn't you?
Oh, we did. We did that, yeah. Because he outrode his claim in 12 months, I think, so not many apprentices do that, that's for sure.
With Tim, what was the biggest thrill? Which win, Sue, does one come to mind straight away?
Oh, probably a couple. You know, we had a lot of fun with Border Rebel. He was a really good horse. You know, he won a takeover Target and two Hinklers. So, you know, that was all thrilling. And he ran second in a QTC Cup. But probably one of the biggest thrills I got was when Tim won the Gold Coast Stakes on Ollie Volley at his last start when he was 11 years old. So, you know, $100,000 race. I think him and I both got a big kick out of that one. Yeah.
Now, that's interesting. 11 years old, he obviously was a horse who loved racing, and he obviously was a horse who was obviously very sound.
He was extremely sound, Ollie. Yeah, I don't think he ever had a lame day in his life. And he won 19 races, like, just a wonderful horse. He sort of wasn't the class of Border Rebel, but still a top galloper, yes.
With a horse that age, what sort of work did you give old Ollie Volley? Was he one of those you had to gallop much, or he's just one of those great old horses who belonged to me out of Lockledge Dance? Did you give him much work?
Oh, yeah, he's a bit of a fatty, Ollie. He took a bit of work. I used to swim him a lot, but he had to gallop. You know, he just couldn't... If you didn't gallop him, he was too fat all the time. So, but, yeah, tough horse and wonderful horse to have in your stable. I'd like another one now.
Well, it's funny. You say here he was at 11 winning the Gold Coast Stakes over the Gold Coast. That was in the March of 2014. But prior to that, in the December of 2013, he ran fourth in the Razor Sharp. He ran fourth in the Keith Now, another listed race as well. He ran fifth in the Gold Market. He weighed in there. He didn't know how to run a bad race.
No, that is for sure. He didn't. And he was a great kid's horse, Ollie. I don't know how many apprentices won on him. You know, in Brisbane, well, Tim won a few on him when he was an apprentice. Jessica Drury won on him. I know Jodie Worley, I think it was only a second ride in the race, she won the big sprint at Port Macquarie on him, but I needed a 4-kilo apprentice, so Jodie was the only one I could find. Just a great horse, you know, wonderful horse.
You love them like this. For people listening, Ollie Volley, 11 years old when he won his last race at the Gold Coast, 92 starts, 18 wins, 12 seconds, 10 thirds, and almost $600,000 in prize money.
Yeah, not too many do that, do they? I've still got Ollie, actually. I kept him. And, Tim took Border Rebel, and so Tim's mum still got Border Rebel.
That's fantastic. Border Rebel was another wonderful horse for you. And... his owner was a fascinating lady. I had a chat to her one day, and I think sadly she's passed on now. She was a South African lady.
Yes, that's correct. And she'd had a very interesting life, Veronica, and yeah, could tell a lot of good stories. But talented, she was one of the top trainers in Kenya. She had a wonderful life.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people didn't... there was so much about her I didn't know and no one knew, but as she said, she'd been a top racehorse trainer herself in South Africa, which would have been where she trained from. It would have been a totally different experience to anything in Australia.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, some of the stories she tells about you know, going to the races. The horses would go at 5 o'clock in the morning for 6 hours and on these old dirt, dusty roads. And she would fly because she had a pilot's license. So she used to fly. She never went in the truck. But, yeah, just amazing life Veronica had. Yeah.
Now, I think she lived in North Queensland, didn't she?
Yeah, she had. When she first came to Australia, I'm not exactly sure where she was, but she ended up in Toowoomba with Hazelwood Stud.
Right.
And she did train a few horses when she first came to Australia, but then I think she concentrated more on the stud, yes.
How did your connection with her come about?
I was just dead set lucky, I would say. She had three horses when she came to Dorigo. She got three horses after she came there. Two went to Coffs Harbour, and I was lucky enough I got bought a Rebel, and I don't think the other two were much good at all. Just lucky, yes.
Well, Border Rebel, again, another horse, picked up nearly 600,000, 37 starts, 14 wins, had a terrific win strike rate.
He did, especially when he first started, you know, like a lot of horses, he had a few problems. But I think he'd won 6 or 7 city races straight, Border Rebel. One was at Scone, but it was on Scone Cup Day, so it was classed as a city race. He is a really talented horse, that is for sure.
How many did you finish up getting from Veronica overall?
Oh, goodness, I'd have probably had 8 or 9 horses. We had a wonderful run when Veronica first came. She had Tree Fern and Aquile, and she had a Sequalo horse who unfortunately broke down. But I just forget, but at one stage she said I'd had something like 30 runners for her, and we'd had 24 winners or something. Unbelievable, the winners we'd had. We just had a fantastic run. Tim rode most of them. So, yeah, just a great run we had.
Have you ever, since or before, had a strike like that with an owner? Were they just, it's almost like you got RSI collecting the winners' checks.
No, never. And I wish it had happened soon.
Now, Sue, going back to the beginning for yourself, as a young girl growing up, were your family involved in horse racing or ponies? Or what was the story?
Yeah, for sure. My grandfather was Arthur Gore, and he was a top jockey and trainer. My father was a jockey, Max McGrath, and then he trained for a while. So, yeah, just it was all our family were in racing. So pretty natural progression, I suppose. I did pony camps and a bit of show jumping, and, yeah, started to ride track work when I was at high school and just went on from there.
Every girl loves a pony, don't they?
For sure. I lived on them.
Now, when you started, you rode as well in races, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That was many kilos ago.
No, you don't have to give that up.
Yeah, I just rode for a couple of years, but I was the only girl apprentice, and it's a bit of a struggle. I sort of rode in 2 ladies' races, and then I became apprentice to Keith Swan. So, yeah, I was lucky that I was riding work there. Dad worked for Keith, so... No, it was great.
Now, I do notice you quite often use the girls, and they ride as well as the blokes these days, and you often use them. And was that just something you look back when you started and thought, gee, I sort of had it a bit hard and I'll give a couple a go, or was it just your recognised ability?
Oh, well, it's a bit of both, I guess. And, like, it's hard to get a male apprentice today. Yeah. Just the girls are the only ones keen enough and probably light enough. And, you know, they've got a pretty good work ethic, I think. They probably don't party as much as some of the boys do. Well, the ones I've had don't anyway. I might have been lucky. But, yeah, I think in years to come in the bush, it'll nearly be all female riders.
It's interesting the way that it's swung around, particularly you look in New Zealand these days, Sue. There'll be a field of 11 and 6 or 7 of them are the girls.
That's right. Yeah, and up here, you know, it's not far away either, I don't think.
From your own point of view, and a lot of punters listening at the moment wonder, do you find that the girls sometimes suit horses better than the blokes and vice versa? Different ones?
Yeah, for sure. Like, some horses need the stick, there's no doubt about that, or a good strong rider. And then others respond well for the girls, you know, a bit kinder. You know, a lot of horses try hard, they don't really need bashing out, I don't think. You know, you keep them balanced and... the girls do that a bit better than the blokes, I think. So, yeah, there's good and bad points for both, I guess. Yeah.
Now, have you ever thought of moving? You're Tamworth based, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't think so. You know, cost too much to start with. But, yeah, no, it's pretty central here. You can go to Sydney and back or Brisbane. There's a lot of travelling, but it doesn't matter where you are. I think there's a lot of travelling. And Queensland would be nice, but the prize money's just terrible up there at the moment. So, you know, you'd be silly to leave here to go up there, I think.
Well, we see so many of them doing the Mexican act and coming over the border south looking for the New South money, don't they?
They do, you know, and it amazes me how some trainers, you know, survive up there. It's tough enough down here where there's good money, let alone up there where the money's so, you know, poor at the moment. Yeah.
So what sort of a difference has it made to you and to trainers in the area like that when you look and think nearly every race you go for these days, your minimum's 20 grand?
Yes, it's a lot better, that's for sure. I suppose in some ways it's tougher now too because you've got the provincial trainers and city trainers coming to the country where they very rarely did before. But, you know, in a lot of ways I guess it helps you get a better class of horse. So, yeah,
it's good. The days of saying, we've got one here, we'll take to the bush and knock off an easy maiden with, are long gone, aren't they?
They definitely are, you know. And even the Sky 2s and non-tab meetings, they're tough to win a race now. They benchmark them so low that, you know, there's a lot of average horses going around, but it's still hard to win. Yeah.
Now, Sue, I mean, two-year-olds and yearlings, do you pick up many of those, or a lot of the ones you have in the stables tried horses or ones that have maybe come from Sydney?
Oh, sort of a mixture. I buy a few yearlings. I don't buy a lot. You know, I've got a few clients that buy some. Some of them are home-bred horses. I've got a few clients that are, you know, long-term clients that breed. Or just some syndicates. A bit of a mixture at the moment. You know, I like tried horses. It's a quicker turnover for the owners if they're any good. You know, they don't waste a lot of money finding out by the time you buy a yearling and get it broken in. I find a lot of first-time clients sort of get a bit sick of paying up while they're waiting, whereas a tried horse you can find out pretty quick and a lot of the time hopefully get a return straight away.
Do you find, and I suppose it works the other way as well, horses, some horses react better to different environments. Some like being trained out of boxes in the city, yet others who are city-trained horses, when you take them to, say, Tamworth and you get the opportunity to whack them out in yards and things during the day, some of them really react to it in a positive way.
Oh, they do, you know, and you can't blame them. You know, the city trainers just haven't got the paddock space or any space. But I think horses are better. They're a natural, you know, in the paddock animal. So I think they do respond better in the country. Those good horses in town, you know, they're just good horses and they don't know any different, I guess.
Now, I'm just trying to recall the horse's name, but you turned up with a nice little two-year-old there a while ago, took her to Sydney as well. Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm trying to think what it was. There was one there. Well, it may not have been 2 or 3, but there's one there. I'll find it in a moment here. I remember seeing the name of it. But I'll come back to that when I track down the name again. I've got a mental blank here on it. But
yeah, okay. No, because I don't think I've ever taken a two-year-old.
There was one there. It might have been a 3 or 1. Anyway, I remember seeing it was a pretty handy horse that you had there a little while ago. But anyway.
It was Fickle Folly, was it?
That was it, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, I took her for a highway race, and unfortunately the was who stayed in Sydney the morning of the races. She had a high temperature and didn't eat, so I had to scratch her. She had a virus coming on, so.
Yeah, that
she'll
was
hopefully run, yeah, next week at Tamworth.
It's frustrating when that happens, isn't it?
It is frustrating. It's a long drive for nothing and expensive night. Just have the turnaround come home, but just luckily, you know, it happened. We picked it up before the race and not after, so.
Yeah. See, we often look back at horses you've had and you think, gee, you know, that maybe copped an injury or for whatever reason broke down, didn't go on. Have you had any along the way that you thought, this is the one I've been dreaming of, this is the one we've been waiting for, and then all of a sudden bad luck arrives and you think, ah, no?
Well, actually, Veronica had two horses. This is the koala horse that broke down. He only had, I think, two or three starts for one win. He was a very smart horse. He was the same age as Border Rebel. He was a very good horse, and she had another horse we bought at a tried sale called Aquile. Mm. He was a really talented horse. I think he won the first three starts I gave him, but then he had a lot of problems too. So Veronica's probably been my sort of luckiest owner type thing. She's a great judge though, so I guess that helped.
With buying tried horses, I suppose you always look and think, why are they in the sale? So you do take a punt, don't you?
Oh, you do, you do. I always get them scoped and I like to look at them myself. And we bought Aquile in Melbourne, so we sort of wondered what was wrong with him. But when he won 3 out of 3, well, we thought we were pretty smart. But then his problems started to show up. Yeah. Mm.
The other thing is, I suppose, you look at some of them, we see Lloyd Williams in Melbourne often puts a lot through the ring, and most of those, there's not much wrong with them. He puts them in and says, right, out, they're there. And there's been a lot of them going to become pretty good horses after.
That's right, you know. It's just, they usually make a fair bit of money, though. And, you know, now the prize money's lifted up here that, it's, you know, it's worth buying a horse like that because sometimes you can take him to Brisbane and that, but it's sort of just hard to get clients to pay that sort of money in the country sometimes.
And see, that's a good point because a lot of people think that everyone's got unlimited pockets, they can just dive as deep as they want. What's been the most that your stable's sort of spent on a horse?
Oh, well, we had clients years ago who bought a nothing like a Dane, so $50,000. He'd have been the most expensive. Yeah. And probably the slowest horse I've ever seen. So I said, well, that didn't work.
Couldn't beat time with a stick?
No, he could not. He was absolutely legless. You couldn't believe it. And he was a half-brother to two city winners.
Well, I had one by Dracula out of Willing that John Hawkes trained, who was by Belle Marino. She won about six in town.
Yes.
And I reckon the ambulance, the first start, the ambulance wore out a set of brake pads. Otherwise, they would have been bumping him on the hocks with a bumper bar.
Yeah, oh, this fella was the same. It was absolutely unbelievable, yeah.
Well, they wanted to give him a run. I saw one of the stewards before the race, and he said, first up a mile, bit of an ask. I said, if we run him anything shorter, you would have had us in. He said, what for? Is it causing interference in the following race? He'll still be out there. Anyway, we found him a good home after two starts. The irony of it was he ran last in the next maiden, beaten 29 lengths, and I finally convinced him we've got to get rid of him, give him to a kid as a pony club horse. But you know what? He'll go to his grave saying it took a Cox Plate winner to beat him because Maldivian won the maiden.
Oh, wow.
So, well,
it's a good maiden,
then. He's got that on his CV, but the Ambos were saying, we've got to keep up. We have to keep up. You must have, over the years, had a few laughs on the racetrack as well and probably taken horses to bush tracks trying to win a race. How far have you travelled?
Oh, geez. Well, we basically go every, probably Narromine and Dubbo, that's as far as we go west. Like, I go to Brisbane now and again, but, yeah, just mainly around all the bush tracks. Deep water, that's a fair drive from here. That's probably as far as I go. I've sent a horse to Louth, but I didn't go myself. But, you know, it's your life, like everyone knows, but it's a great life. You have a lot of fun along the way, that's for sure. You make a lot of good friends.
You've got a good number of horses on your books, I notice. How many do you keep in work at any one time, Sue?
Well, at the moment, we've got 35, and I normally hover 25 to 30, but we're just sort of pretty full at the moment, which is good, but keeping us flat out.
So how many staff would that involve? You'd obviously have to have a few people working for you.
Yeah, I do. I've got five full-time and then a few casuals. And well, Sophie's young. She just rides track work now and got a couple of track work riders. So yeah, it's a big enough staff.
Yeah, young Sophie was going along well. Has weight claimed her?
No, she's just having a bit of a quiet run at the moment. Yeah. You know, she's out of her time and that always makes it that bit harder. Yep. So
she's been with you for a while. Been with you for a while, hasn't she?
Yeah, she started with me, I think, probably 6 years, something like that. She's been since she first came, yeah.
And she was riding winners regularly.
She was, yeah. She had a really good run, but like everyone, you know, the runs come and go, but She'd done a good job, Soph, because she'd never ridden track work or anything when she came here, and she'd had pony club experience, but, so she'd done a good job.
How hard is it when you've, and any trainer would be in the situation, I imagine, when you've got an apprentice who's a really good kid, they're working hard, you know they're good and they're riding well, and then all of a sudden they start to lose that claim, and the rides tend to dry up sometimes, and you're trying to kick up and get rides from them. It must be heartbreaking.
It is, you know, and it's hard, and as I say, when you have a bit of a dry run, but like all jockeys do that, your name's easily forgotten in racing, that's for sure. You know, when you're hot, you're hot, and when you're not, you're not. It's just the way it goes.
Now, apart from good old Ollie Volley, 11 years of age, giving them, the youngsters a toweling and a lesson at the Gold Coast, what's been the highlight? You've had some very nice wins along the way with some good horses.
I have, you know. Probably Border Rebel gave me the biggest thrills, you know, especially when he won the takeover target. You know, it was great to win that race, that's for sure.
Well, he was good enough. I think he ran the Stradbroke too, didn't he?
He did, but he actually ran last in the Stradbroke, but that was when he was a four-year-old, and I wanted to run him sort of when he's a three-year-old, but Veronica sort of overruled me a bit, unfortunately, because that when he was going the best. But when I took him up there as a four-year-old, he was a real mudlark border rebel, and the track was like concrete, and yeah, he just didn't run well at all on it.
It's funny, when the opportunity presents sometimes, you've just got to bite the bullet and go with it, haven't you?
You do, you know, you learn that along the way. He was a good, tough little horse, border rebel, and just unfortunate that he didn't get a crack at him as a three-year-old, because that's when he was really flying, you know, before his problems really started to settle in on him.
Now, I noticed another young apprentice, Melanie Bolwell. I think she rode a placing at her first ride ever for you.
Yes, she did. No, she's going well, Mel. She rode a treble at Tamworth here a few months ago. So, no, she rides nicely too. You know, just got to get a bit stronger like a lot of the girls need. But, no, she's going well.
Now, a chin wagging with Sue Grill. Sue, if I gave you an open checkbook and said you're off to the yearling sales, you can buy what you want. Is there a favourite stallion you'd just head for their progeny first up, or would you go through the catalogue and go, I'll just go on type here?
Well, I think you'd have to try and go for an I'm Invincible or a Schnitzel. I think I'd head there. They seem to be flying, so.
He's been a surprise packet, I'm Invincible, hasn't he? A lot of people thought early doors they'd just be speedy squibs, but by gee, you see, I Am a Star winning you over a mile at Wait for Age at Flemington. And then yeah. Hootson the other day, I couldn't believe it just kept kicking.
No, I thought it had the job ahead of it when it drew that barrier, but, you know, it was great to see Toby Edmonds win the millions, but, yeah, good horse, that's for sure.
Well, we spoke with Josh Parr earlier on. He rode Chauffeur, and he thought at the top of the straight, well, yeah, I've got to be a chance, but you don't often see him do it at both ends of the race, and it did. It burnt early, and then it kicked at the end.
It did. It was a great effort. It was. No, she's a good filly.
All right. Now, these days, as I said, you got 35 in work. Is that the maximum? Would you ever go any bigger, or just think, nah, that'll trim back a bit more and be a bit more comfortable back around the 30 mark?
Yeah, no, 35's the top, that's for sure. Yeah.
All right. New apprentices, are you on the lookout for any more, or the stable full at the moment?
No, well, I've got a young, he's a sort of bit older apprentice, Adam Faulkner. He's just started with me, a month or so ago. So he's hopefully our next apprentice, yes.
And you say an older apprentice. What's his background, Sue?
Well, he's 31. He hadn't ridden at all, I don't think, until he... he sort of worked down at, I think, at Gwenda Markle's or somewhere for a while, and then he broke his arm, and, so he didn't have a lot of horse experience before he went down there.
It's a wonderful initiative being able to become a mature age apprentice, because normally at 31, he would have walked in and just been basically a jockey with no claim, wouldn't he?
Oh, that's right, yes. Yeah. And it's a good idea, you know. You're never too old, I don't think.
Yeah, and at least these days he's got to kick off with the 4 kilos to get him going.
That's right, you know. And that's a big help. If you're on the top weight and they're usually the best horse in the race, well, 4 kilos off is a big help. Mm.
Now, Sue, finally, who's been the biggest influence on your career and on your life?
Oh, probably Keith Swan, I'd say. You know, I was with him for a long time. I was apprenticed to him, and then I sort of worked there and was foreman there for a long time. So him and my dad, he was a good influence, my father, yes.
What was the best advice they gave you? Was anything that stands out?
Work hard.
That's it.
That's all they said, work hard.
Now,
work
for
hard,
you,
try harder.
The best horse you've seen?
Oh, I'm still Sunline. I think Sunline is a great horse. You know, Black Caviar was terrific and a lot of great horses, but I just thought Sunline was a superstar.
What was it about her that just stamped her above the rest?
Well, she was tough. She raced all over the world. You know, she won a Cox Plate. Just such a good, tough mare, you know, and raced for years, whereas a lot of mares don't. Mm. And especially with the travelling she did. I just used to love Sunline.
Now, these days, if you were to throw your colours in the room, is there any particular jockey you'd like to pick him up?
Oh, well, I just like Greg Ryan on my horses whenever I can get him. He's as good as any in the bush, that's for sure.
And that local knowledge is invaluable, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is that, yeah. And, you know, Greg's pretty smart, like Robert. They're pretty wise old fellas, and not that Greg's that old, I guess, but they've been there and done it, and that's what I say to these apprentices. Greg and them sit behind you thinking, I know them, well, you're going to leave the fence, so I'll wait till you go and get the run straight through. And it happened a lot of the time too.
They're too cunning for the young ones, aren't they?
They are. And I say to them, but you watch them, they'll come up the inside of you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Sue, it's been fantastic to have a chinwag with you this morning. There'll be people thinking, have you got a winner for us in the next week?
Oh, geez, I've got a few in at Tamworth tomorrow, but my best chances of drawn wide. I'm taking Rothby for a highway race, but that's a very hard race too. Maybe Fickle Folly next Friday week at Tamworth.
All right, that'll do us. We'll hitch our wagon to that. Good luck for 2017. Been great to have a chinwag with you. Let's hope the stable fires for you continually throughout the year.
Thanks very much for that.
Sue Grills, my chinwag guest this morning. Great to have a yarn with her today on Sky Sports Radio.